And this is Lena Live. I'm Lena Nirmond. It is more than my pleasure and honor to welcome extraordinarily special guest and artist who is truly a living legend, Cindy Ashton, whose artistic and human contribution as well makes her as an icon in the world of entertainment, humanity, and beyond. Cindy, welcome.
Hi, Lena. Hello to everybody listening. How are you all doing?
Well, we are all pre-dancing with your music and with your vision before we will start our conversation with a lot of music of yours. I like to start actually with one of your performances, which was so meaningful and so breathtaking to myself. This is Blues in the Night. So
great.
We're going to tune on that, and then I think we will be totally in your world. So this is Cindy Ashton with Blues in the Night.
Pigtails, my mama done told me how a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye. But when the sweet talking done, a man has a two face, a worrisome thing, or leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, hear the train a calling, a wooing. Hear the lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle, a wooing. My mama was right. There's blues in the night.
Cindy, tons of applause with emotions and invisible but extremely expressive facial reactions. I'd like to start from the middle, if I may. This performance suggests that you had not even that much of a training, but development as a complete artist with a dance, with operatic a sense, with opera, tremendously well-developed skill, of course, jazz, that comes without saying, and all of this was under the crown of fantastic education, which took place, I believe, in Randolph Academy. I'd like to ask you to comment, indeed, how was your artistic development indeed influenced and formed by this very full and very diversified process?
So just to understand what you're asking me about my training and where my influences are coming from?
Yes, and also how one was helping another. Forgive me, I didn't ask myself a very clear question. I wanted to ask you how, for example, your voice development was nourished by your dancing skill, your dancing lessons, how your education as a jazz singer would correlate with your other form of performance.
Well, I think that they all, it's really about allowing all the training to work together. I have definitely heard from other people that people who have a lot of dance training, like I did when I was younger, tend to really have a hard time breathing deep into their diaphragm because they're so used to keeping pulled in. Whereas I really think that dance and singing go together really, really well. And, you know, the great thing about dance is that it gives you freedom of motion and it gives you strength. But it's really, when you go to sing, it's really about allowing yourself to see that they can correlate. And so with dancing, it's all about, you know, freedom of movement. And with singing, you know, I know that a lot of singing teachers teach in a way that they ask you just to stand there and sing and, you know, shoulder width apart and, you know, feet shoulder width apart and don't move, stand there. And I found that that actually caused me a lot of tension. And thankfully, I had teachers who understood that it was important for me to move and to relax my muscles. And the great thing about dance is that I had such a great awareness of my body and so much control over my muscle that when it went to singing, I was able to let go and do a lot of movement so that I could relax the muscles and relax my body and be able to activate the right muscles in order to sing with more power. So I actually found that dance really, really helps me to sing well, whereas I know with other people, dance actually holds them back because they end up holding tension in their bellies and they end up holding their posture too straight because of their dancing. So for me, it was great that I did both.
I certainly will go a little deeper in your life and with some absolute breathtaking facts. But before that, I'd like to comment on what you just said and perhaps lead it to modern education, which is somewhat challenged because it became more narrow with more of a profile accent. For example, if it is classical singer, she or he will not know more than that. Of course, needless to say, there are so much work and there is so much of a challenge. But you just brought a very important point, synthesis of the art. And I'd like to ask you, in fact, when you started to use your body, and that obviously made an impact in your artistic expression, how did you feel it helped you to relate on a freer and deeper sense with the audience. How did you feel that audience did in fact react to your full performance rather just to be focused either on your singing or in your dance? Did you have that fantastic, thrilling feedback from the audience who was able to react to your full performance?
Well, you know, I never did get to the point in my dance training that I became like a full-time dancer. It was really learning how to dance in order to support my performing. Like, I'm primarily a singer and an actress, and the dance is really about allowing me to have the movement on stage. But I really believe that in terms of connecting with an audience, because of all the different types of training that I had and because of the dance training, I'm a lot freer in my body and in my expression, whereas with singers who have not had dance training tend to be very stiff on stage. And an audience wants to be able to connect with you. An audience wants to like you. They want to be into what you're doing. And when you're free on stage and you're willing to just be grounded like you need to be in dance and be willing to come from your purest essence and connect with an audience, they really, really respond. And I really feel that that's what sets me and other performers apart from other singers. I think that's a difference. There's a group of singers who are technically perfect singers, but they don't connect with their audiences because they're so caught up in standing there and being perfect. And I can tell you that I of course, I have a fabulous voice, but I'm not technically perfect. I let go of a bit of my technique so that I could be with the audience and interacting with them and dancing with them and jumping, you know, literally jumping in the audience and grabbing them up and dancing with me and bringing them up on stage and joking with me and doing some comedy with them. And but I really feel because of the depth and the width of my training, it really allowed me the versatility to be able to connect with an audience. And the interesting thing is that in the past, I was actually criticized for being too versatile. And it's interesting because for a long time, I was like, wow, should I just stick to opera or should I just stick to jazz or should I just stick to Broadway or stick to this? And it got to the point where I said to myself, but you always encourage, Shindy, other people to be all of themselves. And I'm finding that when I do my shows, because I make them very cabaret style, very interactive, lots of heartwarming stories, lots of comedy. But what I do is I embrace all of me. And sometimes that means I'm singing something that's more pop opera like Josh Groban or Andrea Bocelli. And sometimes I go to the other extreme of doing some jazz standards. But the great thing about that is that I'm no longer being criticized for being versatile. I'm finding that my audiences absolutely love it. They love the versatility, and they walk away and go, wow, that was really cool. She took me through a whole journey of all these styles. So I really feel, you know, with artists, you have to be all of yourself. And for some people, all of themselves is being completely a blues artist or completely a country artist, and they're versatile maybe in their clothing or in other ways. But for me, my versatility ranges all those styles, and I love being able to integrate it in a way that makes sense in a performance and connect with my audience.
You know, we're performing not for the critics. We do perform for the audience, and that's what you just expressed. I also believe that this synthesis and intuition, which is truly a connecting issue in between what we know and what we want to express. And listening to you, I feel that you have this invisible golden connection between the heaven and the earth. And I wanted to play another song of yours, which I think express this wonderful subtlety and somewhat wonderful idiosyncrasies in between the rhythmic and the very lovely moment of melodic searching. I like, with your permission, to play a butterfly, which will lead to another section of our program, where we will be talking more about your life, some other performances, your accomplishments, and some absolutely, as I mentioned before, breathtaking moments of your life. My program is dedicated to Cindy Ashton, whose performance we're going to hear now. And this is Butterfly with Cindy Ashton's interpretation.
is a farm. In our backyard, I watched you run, carefree as a ragged doll, precious moment in my mind. The time froze in the winter snow on the day I heard you call. Unprepared, impossible to know, far too young to hurt. A damaged heart, like a butterfly. You are delicate and strong, and you've always rattled on. My butterfly, so with all your courage, wind and sky will see you heal and bring you home. Now we sit and stare at the spring through window down a hospital hall, ever hoping that the future will show a playground and a second start. Like a butterfly, you are delicate and strong, and you've always battled on. My butterfly, soar free with all your courage. Wind and sky will see you heal. Rain clouds are helpless in the air, but you have calling wind.
Just heard this most poetic performance, which so beautifully being interpreted by Cindy Ashton, my guest today. Cindy, this is just such an eloquent polyphony with beautiful intervoices. Who composed this song?
I composed it with a man named Steve Dudunik. So it was co-composed. Both of us composed the lyrics and the music together.
Well, I do not want to sound too academic, but you certainly learn about polyphony enough. And that is right there, connections between Renaissance and modern times. And I just wanted to ask you, am I at least guessing in the right direction? Or this is pure intuitive phrasing and intuitive internal hearing of the melody?
In terms of
composing, and in terms of forming such a wonderful collaboration between the voices and creating this polyphony between the voices.
You know, I'm not really sure. I don't think it was conscious on our part. We decided that for my album, Don't Rain on My Parade, we were going to write a song based on my own life story. And it was just about talking it through and just him playing and me singing and creating melodies. It was, and then he just added the counterpart in terms of the voice. And it really was very organic. There was no real planning or consciousness around this is what it's going to look like and this is the style that we want. It really just came out. Sorry. it wasn't planned out.
I was looking for something because I was inspired, frankly, since it was in some way very traditional, beautifully crafted phrasing. And yet, yes, I did feel that this very improvisational flowing lines. You mentioned a relationship between this song and your life. Let me take this as a bridge and indeed go into your life. You were born, and first moments of your life already being challenged. And I will certainly give you a complete opportunity to share your story. The only thing I like to take privilege and to share with the audience that President Obama gave you an award which called Call to Service, and that was for an outstanding service for the community. It also did acknowledge your tremendous victory and triumph over your physical limitations. It is an extremely sensitive area, and you've been generous enough to share this with the public, to share this tremendous courage which you expressed in overcoming your physical limitations. Would you share this with us?
Sure, absolutely. I really think it's so important for us to share our stories because when we're able to share what we've been able to overcome, we then empower other people to believe that they too can overcome their stuff. Because often when you're going through a challenge or an obstacle or you're dealing with a really big problem, it's very easy to feel like you're alone and like nobody understands. And so I think it's so important that those of us who have conquered stuff, which is everybody, we've all conquered our own stuff, it's just so important for us to be able to share with other people and really be able to say, hey, you know what? You're not alone. I may not be going through the exact same thing that you did, but I've gone through stuff and I overcame it. So for me, the major challenge that I've had to overcome was my body. I was born with heart failure and a 20% chance of living. And the left side of my body was structurally damaged. And so my left eye couldn't move and my left leg was turned inward and I had to wear casts on my legs in order to learn how to walk. And my very first, since I was born with heart failure, my very first heart surgery was when I was 11 days old. And then my second heart surgery was 5 years old. And my third heart surgery was 14 years old, at which point doctors said, you know, my lung is damaged. I would be on medication for life and I still have heart problems. So I can't do anything beyond walking in terms of physical activity. And so here I was, a girl that, you know, from the moment I was born, or from the moment I was in my mother's belly, I've known that I need to perform. I really did. I've known that I've needed to be a performer. And here I want to sing, dance, and act, and I grew up with a body that just wasn't functioning. And at 14, I was given that prognosis of never being able to do anything beyond walking because I physically wouldn't be able to handle it. So the short end of the story is, thankfully, I was 14 and I wasn't stuck in my ways as we are as adults. And thankfully, I was still, you know, defiant. I was a defiant teenager and I was still creative and didn't believe doctors. And so I made up my mind that I was going to heal myself. And it took until I was about 29 years old to really get to a point where I could really perform full time. Just because of all the chronic pain I was in and all the cutting of the bones and the nerves and all the healing that my body had to go through. But I was determined, and at 29 years old, I finally had broken through to the point where I was able to sing every single day and I was able to dance and do what I really loved and start to go after my dreams, at which point I did my album, Don't Rain on My Parade, which has the Butterfly song on it. So, so that's my story, and I'm so excited that I'm doing what I love now, and hopefully I can inspire other people that, yes, I was sick for 29 years, but I didn't give up, and look at where I am now, and if I can do it, you can do it, because we're all amazing and magnificent.
Well, certainly you went beyond any words, and I would say, frankly, even the most incredible historic performances would not measure to yours, because when such tremendous physical handicap interfere with the most physical profession like yours, this is truly, truly magic. And I personally, when I was reading about you, I frankly could not handle this on a some kind of immediate mental level. Your music, your performances did help me, because it was truly continuation and expression, this phenomenal energy, this burst of totally unrestricted artistic and human expression, which is so, so rare. I like to play you another song to have a little connection to our next segment. So we will call it another intermezzo, and that would be Sway Can Sera. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the name of this song correctly. Please pronounce it the way it should be.
So sway is the English word, but I also have a verse I do in Spanish, quien será.
Oh, so I was close, but you did it better, certainly.
You did a great job.
Well, thank you. So we are with Cindy's performance of Sway Can Sera.
Thank you. when more and more rhythm starts to play. Dance with me, meant this way. When the lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, bend with me, sway me. One way that you have a way with me, stay with me, sway with me. Other dancers may be on the floor, my eyes will see only you. Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I grow weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins. Make me thrillers, only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now. Sway me smooth, sway me now.
And that was Cindy Ashton again. Cindy, our clothes, and thank God internet did not give any opportunity to see what I was dancing during your singing. But but no one really can remain in the same place. I wanted to ask you about that song. Honestly, I know the melody. I'm surprised. But what is the origin of this song?
You know, it was one of those songs that was really famous way back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, and a lot of artists have recorded it. The most famous one, of course, is Dean Martin. One more and more rhythm start to sway. He's very, you know, he's very sultry and sexy and very cool as he sings it. So, yeah, he's awesome. I really feel like I was born in the wrong era. Or maybe I meant to bring all this music back. Who knows?
You know, you just read my mind, because I wanted to ask you perhaps a little bit again an academic question, but let me be as free as I can. I'd like to have your thoughts on the tradition and education, and perhaps a little bit of your own feelings of where we're coming from and where we're going to. I tell you what I mean. For example, in the 60s, I discovered that such extreme genre as psychedelic music and heavy metal music became very, very popular. And I was asking myself repeatedly, why? Where is the human need for that? And it did take me some time until I realized, at least for myself, pure subjectively, that this is the voice of a young people of that generation. In fact, presently, these genres, heavy metal, very, very popular. So I connected this with extreme scream of an emotional expression, where people, because of their difficulties and because they're still immature to express themselves, expressing themselves through music. And this is, in a way, scream for an emotional attention or expression. And I, frankly, stopped to condemn this music, because before I felt it is just outrageously wild, it's so masculine and just so harsh. But then I understood it does come from a human soul, so there is a reason for that. So I came to the conclusion that evolution of the music and art genre is very faithful to our emotional evolution. So perhaps I will ask you the question, what kind of an emotional evolution you feel you are going through yourself? And what is your feeling about an evolution which has to do with our present music and art state?
This is a fabulous question. I have never been asked this before. I love it. It's great. It's going to make me think. So I know personally It's interesting because for a long time I was in the quote-unquote self-help world, you know, in the motivational world because of my story and because of my passion to help people. But I realized that that was such a small segment of the population, and I felt in my soul that being an artist is such a beautiful way to be able to reach more than just a small group. You could reach, you know, way more people that way. And I know for me, I've been shifting away from that and really, really focusing on continuing to be an inspiration and uplift people, but be able to be in the general public so that I could reach everybody and not just the people who are seeking it out. Because right now, this connects to your question about the world. Right now, I really feel like our world is at crossroads. You know, I feel like we are at this point where for years and years and years, decades and decades, we've been abusing the planet, we've been abusing ourselves, and our economy has been falling apart, and everything's been falling apart, and now we're being forced to wake up. And I think that means that more and more artists have been, and I've been seeing it, are stepping up and really trying to inspire our world to make more positive changes so that we don't continue to repeat the patterns of the past. And I really see that in evidence. For example, movies like The Pursuit of Happiness are coming out. More and more of those types of movies that are aimed at the general population are coming out. I know a lot of artists as well who are very mainstream, who are trying to put positive stuff out. Even Katy Perry did Firework. It's one of my favorite songs. You know, baby, you're a firework. I'm not a pop singer. But, you know, she basically is about, you know, do you ever feel like you're a paper floating in the wind? But, you know, buck up because you're a firework and you can create all the colors that you want to in your life. And so I am finding that there's definitely more and more artists. You know, I know the Black Eyed Peas have done it. Like, a lot of artists are stepping up and saying, you know, we're going to make a difference. And more, and I am finding in all genres of the arts that more and more artists are stepping up and really trying to encourage, empower, and challenge people to step up and to create a better place. And certainly for me, I know that part of my purpose is to be continuing to build the masses as my fan base, because I know that somebody like me is very positive. I'm a positive artist. I'm not going to be screaming, yelling at my songs about killing people and, you know. So I know that's definitely one of my purposes is to really uplift people and hopefully shift them through my singing and my comedy and my shtick on stage.
What a symphonic answer you gave me, and that inspired me to go even deeper in terms of your connection, your vision, your philosophy, and practical application to improve or maybe even to rescue our artistic music education. You know, it's not always the money issue. It's not always the funds. Art and music, relatively speaking, became like a dessert after dinner. Yes, I like to have it, but I can go without it. I think this role of yours is so incredibly, so powerful, because you are, as a speaker, also made a tremendous difference in so many institutions, schools, and I'm sure you have some feedback. So I wanted to ask you, do you see some waking up calls for incorporating much more music, art, not only as an academic discipline, but as a part of our human life?
You know, that's a good question. I certainly hope so. I mean, I think that the arts are so important. And when I was in my 20s, I was an educational consultant. And I would go into schools and I would teach subjects. I would teach teachers how to teach subjects like math and science and English, you know, the standard subjects, but do it using singing, dancing, and acting. And the organization that I used to do this with, which is the Royal Conservatory of Music up here in Canada, they did a 3-year study and they showed that kids who had arts in the classroom that was specifically integrated into their regular curriculum were an 11 percentile higher than the rest of the kids in Canada. And that, to me, just spoke volumes. I have always been a strong believer in the arts. I think I think it's so important for arts to be in everything that we do. They're great stress relievers. They're great in terms of helping people to learn to work together. Because if you're playing in a band, you've got to learn to listen to each other. You need to learn to interact. You need to learn to compromise. You need to learn to communicate. Same thing if you are doing a play together or whatever it is in the arts. But the arts are so amazing because they allow us to open up our creativity. They allow us to express ourselves as opposed to go out and kill somebody because you have unsuppressed anger. You know, it really allows us to help us to heal us, be creative, learn to interact with the world, learn to interact with each other, learn to be introspective, learn to be interpersonal. I really feel so strongly that the arts needs to be in every single aspect of our life. Music, of course, but all the arts, dancing, singing, acting, visual arts, everything, because it really uplifts your soul and transforms lives. I'm a strong believer in this.
Fantastic that you mentioned this interaction as one of the most natural, of course, important skills to develop in early age. In my own experience, I can very firmly testify that artistic expression and tremendous craving on the part of the young people to express themselves artistically is the way to go to overcome a lot of emotional and mental issues. Unfortunately, parents are overstressing sport. They overstressing numbers of academic achievement, and all this link, which you just so completely and comprehensively described, definitely should be reinforced. And you mentioned Canada. I was a bit puzzled of your presence in U.S. and in Canada. I like to know how you divide yourself. And before that, however, since I have this privilege to ask you kaleidoscopic questions, couldn't even say the word, I am dying to bring one point. You do have, obviously, degree in music with multidiscipline, but you also have a degree in kinesiology. As little as I know, but it is science of distribution of energy, and I think it has something to do with efficiency of function of our body. Please describe in a more intelligent way, what is it?
So kinesiology is actually represented differently in Canada than it is in the United States. And I learned this when I was in the U.S. People would say, oh, you have a degree in kinesiology. You do muscle testing. And I say, no, that's not kinesiology. So kinesiology means a different thing in Canada than it does in the United States. So kinesiology, what I took in terms of a degree, is the study of the human body. So I took classes like anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, exercise, health psychology, relaxation therapy, anything that had to do with the well-being of the body and therapy of it. And so the great thing is, I mean, it was a very strange double major because, you know, in the mornings I would be dissecting a body and dissecting a heart with a bunch of, you know, athletic people. And then in the afternoon I would be in music class with a bunch of drugged out rock stars, you know. I mean, it was very, very strange. So one minute I'm dissecting and the next I'm singing. It was very strange, but it was perfect. And they fit together beautifully because in learning about the human body, not only did it help me to heal my body more, but I find that I use, you know, I find that I use it in my singing all the time. I know a lot about nutrition, so I know how to eat properly. I know about exercise. And so, you know, there's ways that you should and should not exercise as a singer. Most singers don't know that. But I know it because of my training, you know, because of the relaxation therapy. I know how to deal with stage nerves. I know how to deal with stress. I mean, it was really very, very complimentary. I learned a lot that, and so even though I don't actually go out there and I'm not a sports therapist, you know, and I'm not practicing, it's really helping my career quite a lot. It's really quite amazing.
You know, I like to make my the points here again, which I struggled a bit in the very, very beginning of our conversation. And that is your very wise and very harmonious corporation of many facets of function in your mental, your emotional, and your physiological abilities. I think that is a true secret of your success and also overcoming those severe disabilities which you had. And I believe that that's another important point which you made, that coming into the stage, this is almost like a final point. It's a result. It's a tremendous episode of your life. But there is a whole whole life and a whole routine which needs to be nourished from every possible angle. And I think one of the important lessons which young people should learn from you is indeed to pay attention to every detail, not only how they play and what kind of performance critics they will have, but what they eat, what they think, in fact, what kind of love life they have and what kind of interest they have. This is all incredibly connected. And I wanted to ask you, what was your most predominant human influence? Who, if any, gave you this tremendously connecting self-vision and connection in between yourself and the art?
Wow, that's a great question. I think it's a lot of different influences. I think part of it is knowing, was being born knowing what I was supposed to do. Some people struggle their whole lives figuring out what their passion is. I was blessed and cursed in knowing what my passion was. The blessing knowing my whole life, of course, and the curse for me was having 29 years of not being able to do it. So having said that, I think the influence has been of having something so strongly inside of me that needs to be such a strong purpose and passion. And I really feel that because I had such a strong passion and so many challenges in front of it, it forced me to be self-reflective. And along my path, I have done so much education, so many courses, so many workshops. I've done therapy. I've been influenced by people in the media, artists. So really, it's been a lifelong journey of a bunch of different influences, driven by this absolute need to fulfill my vision, which has not entirely been fulfilled yet. I mean, I definitely have gotten to a certain level, but I've got a long way to go still.
And we have no doubt, but that's long way, perhaps, for you is a one way. For us, you certainly have a long way as already phenomenally accomplished artist, human being. And all these points of introduction, which I was trying to make, you certainly already confirmed. There is a one talent which I didn't mention yet. You are the author as well. I don't know when you have time for this and how you, but I guess it's a fantastic skill of shifting, and that's probably injection of your energy. You are the author of Kiss Your Monster Goodbye. I also want to say that you've been spoken at over 100 art programs. Of course, you've been seen in the major television and radio stations. We are, needless to say, incredibly honored to have you here in our station. And also, you have several CDs with your performance. Some of it we heard today, but there's a whole CD of Do Not Rain on My Parade, Kiss the Monster Mediterranean, and Goodbye. And I'm sure you're planning to make more CDs of your performance. So I like to ask you, not the usual question, if you have any favorite performances of yours. I frankly hate this question, but I wanted to ask you a different question. How do you feel every performance is different in terms of your next performance? And I tell you what I'm talking about. This is a little bit of an intimate artistic life. One of my very, very dear friend, one of my very dear friend used to say, if I don't have very successful performance, I'm a little bit nervous to go for the next. And I used to tell her, the next is a different. It's it may be not to your liking, but it is a different. So you don't compare. Are you compare your performances, or it is indeed very different experience every time?
Oh, I definitely compare my performances. I mean, I've spent most of my life being extremely self-critical, as most of us do. And I definitely look at my performances, and I try to learn from them and grow from them so that I can be even better. I'm so dedicated to giving my audience the absolute best experience they can. I want them to walk away and feel happy and uplifted and feel like they got their money's worth. So I'm definitely comparing. I do it in a healthy way now. When I was younger, I was so hard on myself. Whereas now I understand that, you know, I'll probably be 80 years old and still developing and improving. So it's really just about doing each performance and saying, what did the audience respond to? Where did I feel like I wasn't grounded? Where did I feel like I was off? Where could I be more powerful? What else can I include to bring it up to the next level? So for me, it's always an evolution and changing and reflection.
I'd like to put a few questions regarding some of your specific shows. For example, White Carpet. My feeling was that this is one of the major shows which you're taking in 6 cities in U.S. and also in Toronto. And perhaps that will be logical for us to know where and how you managed to be in 2 countries.
How do I manage to be in 2 countries? So for about 3 years, I was living pretty consistently in the U.S. and just touring around the U.S. And then I decided to come home to Canada. I wanted to do different types of performing and that my visa would not allow me to do in the U.S. So I came home and I did Miss Hannigan in Annie out in Niagara. And now I am starting to gear up to tour again. So I've got the White Carpet event on Friday in Toronto. And right now I'm in talks with different venues in different cities, and we are setting up my next tour. And this tour is going to be different than the type of touring I was doing originally in the U.S. But, you know, it's about juggling up. I can juggle both. What I did find, though, when I was in the U.S. for 3 years touring, I was exhausted all the time. So this time when I'm setting up the touring, I'm definitely setting it up in a way that it's going to be better pacing. And venues that are even better for me. The venues I was doing before were not the perfect venues for me. So it's really just about evolving and growing and being aware. So definitely it's possible to juggle it. You just have to be really organized and give yourself time in between each performance to recover.
That's so important, recover, and that's the a time when artist has this breathing, but still your schedule and your emotional barometer is just incredibly unreal. And there is probably some kind of a philosophical progression where with this incredible physical challenges, God gave you this extraordinary pulse for your emotional energy. And this is certainly tremendous arch one can make where you've been recognized by the president of the country. And at the same time, it is so important for you to find certain place in the soul of each one who is listening to your music. I like to perhaps ask you a last question for remaining moments. Could you share with us a bit about your family? Maybe I missed it, but I didn't find much information about your parents. And who is behind that giant of yours?
So I specifically I'm very private about my family. They are wonderful, wonderful people, but I'm very private about my family because I am a public figure, and I'm specifically private so that I can protect them. They are very private people, and they don't necessarily want to be in the public eye, which is why I don't talk about my family very often, but we're very close, and we get together for potlucks, and I play with my nephew, and so it's great. I'm just very private about them, that's all. But my family are very supportive.
And I'm very grateful for what you have shared. It was somewhat curiosity, but also I wanted to thank you personally for, sounds very simple, but very sincere, for who you are. You certainly know how to connect the golden of the sky and be very grounded. That, I think, gives you this foundation to move forward and to bring in another level the whole bouquet of your talents and your honesty as an artist. I wanted to thank you so much for not only finding time, but to be so resourceful, so kind, and so open with your life, with your creation, with your thoughts. Cynthia, thank you, and cautiously, I would say until soon, because I hope this collaboration just is starting.
Lena, I have really enjoyed being able to be emailing back and forth with you. You are such a lovely soul, and I really appreciate all the feedback that you've given me, because coming from somebody like you, who is extremely educated and trained in the music industry, just means that much more, and I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to share with even more people today. So hopefully I've gotten a few more fans. And yes, if you're listening and you're a new fan, please check out cindyashton.com. It will be fun.
And thank you that you just concluded and helped me to answer that last question. We certainly will exchange with all this modern links between each other. I already have several organizations who are dying to hear you. And I like to conclude this golden program with beautiful living legend, Cindy Ashton, and play one of the many performed by her songs, Don't Rain in My Parade. Something which is a part of her CD, and something which will invite you to her absolutely magnetic website. Cindy, until soon, with all my best.
Thank you so much, Lena. Thanks to everybody for listening. Have an amazing day.
Rolling.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring your own cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I simply got to. If someone they just feel it's me and not you, who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? On March I met you, I'll be my dog. And if I met you, you'll turn it back, sir. At least I didn't fake it hot, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether on the roads of sheer perfection, the freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of his eye. I've got troubles, I've got troubles, only in doubles, right, sir. Real life is juicy, juicy, and you'll see. I've got to have my bite, sir. Get ready for me, love, cause I'm my corner. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring your rally cloud to bear on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. One rule for the whole shebang. One blow, that bell will go bang. I am the target and win. One shot, one gunshot, and bam! Hey, look at me. Here I am. I'm on my way. I least I didn't fake it, handsome. I guess I didn't make it. Get ready for me, love, cause I would hunger. I simply gotta march my heart to cover. Nobody, no, nobody is gonna
ending to my program with Cindy Ashton, as I said a number of times, a legend. And this is my pleasure to end this program with being with you again. That was again Lena Mumond, Lena Live. Until next time, have a lovely time with you, with yourself and your family.
Thank you.